Cardinelli is ill, excused, he called and emailed. He will not be attending. And next item we have is the pool of the minutes from the previous meeting. Everyone received them?
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved and seconded by Supervisor Poole. Any additions, corrections, if not? All those in favor, use the governance?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Hang on there.
Aye.
The only comments I have, I guess, are about the weather, and it's the weather all year that we've had. I really want to congratulate the leaders of all our divisions that are here this evening and those that aren't. Don't realize what the weather does, and I'm in a weather-related business, so I do. Matt just finished a horrendous project at Betts and one at Katy Park. Dan fought the golf season, and you don't think it would get into facilities, but they fought roofs and air conditioning and everything that this committee, and then you get into highways with the flooding and the length of projects that we had this winter. I really want to congratulate everyone on all the completions that we have, and I know that this is the last meeting of this year, and I know as a committee now we're going to start hearing of the full slate, and we've all heard what's coming up, a very large slate. The biggest is probably things Clement's going to be handling with the Foxconn, all the road work, and then the Highway S. This is one of the years where a lot of that is going to be starting, and all the other projects that we have, it's going to be another very busy year. That's all I have, and to thank everyone for getting all that done. Any other committee members, supervisors? Treasurer Kliske? No? We'll move on to citizens' comments, and I see none here. Frank's not in town, right?
Right, I'm going to pinch hit.
Frank's first, and Ray, you're good.
Yeah, I'll pinch hit for Frank and Mike tonight. Hopefully everybody got the copy of his report in the packet, but the Anderson Center project is getting ready to kind of kick things off. I know there's a meeting this Friday, kind of a pre-final award for all of the contracts now that the budget's in place. And they expect to start construction actually in early 19, probably with some of the outside work, weather dependent. There's not a lot of inside work as part of this project, but there is some. But in any event, they should get started, I think, right away in January of the year, of start of the year. Branch 1 courtroom renovation project. Those bids were released on the 9th. Pre-bid contractor walkthrough occurred. I didn't get the exact number from Frank, but I believe we had a fairly good turnout for this one as well. Bids are due back on the 18th, and I think at the last committee we talked about how we've got 6 months to basically do the project, but in that time frame, whenever the contractor decides it fits in their schedule to start, they got 8 weeks to actually get it done, and that way we should get, hopefully, by giving them that kind of flexibility, get some good bids in for a fairly small project by our standards anyways. That's that. Public safety building shooting range project. They, even though Frank is not the primary manager on this, he's still sitting in and kind of watching progress. This is a joint services project. And it sounds like they're making pretty good progress on this in that they've got January 11th targeted for project completion. That's pretty much what Frank's got going on at the moment. There's no questions?
Great.
Yes.
Realizing public, or that's our joint services is managing this project. Do they manage many facility renovations? I wouldn't think they would. So Frank must be involved.
That's why we've got him involved. So technically, joint services, the actual range itself, is a joint services authority. So they run that. But obviously, it's in the county's building. So We've got Frank involved so that anything that interacts, be it electrical, HVAC, it plays nice with everything else that's in the building. But we are really, they really are running the actual, they did the bids, they worked with our purchasing guy, but they ran the bids, they got the architect to do the design work. They're running the project of the actual installation and construction of the new range, but Frank's there kind of shadowing everything to make sure. And there's been, there is some complex things because the HVAC system for the range itself is pretty sophisticated given it's got to manage ambient light and all this other kind of stuff, but it's still got to play with the overall building system, so.
Okay,
it's been
thank
kind
you.
Of interesting thing.
Any other questions for Frank's report? If not, we will move on to Clement, Highway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The first item is a resolution to appoint Sergeant Aaron Schaefer to serve on Neshoba County Traffic Safety Commission. We were not able to get Sergeant Schaefer today. However, he's a lieutenant at the, he's a sergeant at the Pleasant Prairie Police Officer, and he'll be replacing Lieutenant Dan Riley.
Dan Riley was a lieutenant at Pleasant Prairie, correct?
Yes.
Deputy Chief.
Deputy Chief.
Mm-hmm.
And he moved, was it?
Yes, he's in Caledonia. He's the chief of police up in Caledonia.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, we welcome Sergeant Schaefer, and you said he wasn't able, but you've talked to him, you've interviewed him?
No, I did not talk to him. By the time we could get hold of him, it was a little bit late for him to, he didn't respond, but we left a message for him. I would take the blame on that. I didn't contact him on time.
Well, it wasn't actually you, it's that we first were prepared to do Lieutenant Riley because he was going to succeed himself. In that time frame, there wasn't a whole lot of time. Mm-hmm. I think the type of person we want, naturally on that commission, we want a wide breadth of people, and he fills the role that Dan Riley did, so.
Supervisor, is that the resolution then?
Yes.
Okay, I just want to make sure that we were, just about, has anybody, I mean, I'm assuming he wants to do this, correct?
Yeah.
We know that at least. Got, we hate to nominate somebody that's really interested.
Yeah. Right. It was one of those things I went through the cracks. I didn't get to him on time because by the time I left the message.
You've been a little busy, I understand. I have a motion to approve.
Second by Supervisor. Who said that?
Jordan.
Oh, okay. Any discussion? Any questions? All right, all those in favor, you the governor?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye.
I'll take on the divisional report for this month. We had our first major snowstorm last Monday. We recorded about 4 inches on the east side of the county and about 11 inches on the west side of the county. There were no major incidents recorded apart from some few cars skidding off the road during the very heavy snowfall. Other than that, everything went smoothly. It was those of us who were on the west side, you could tell that it was really a tough snow, and we plowed through the snow as to the best of our ability, and luckily there was no major incident. Other than that, we continue with our general maintenance, which includes shouldering, brushing, ditching, pothole patching, and crack sealing. On project updates.
Quick question. I just wondered, because this is our first incident with this, this hellacious construction quarter on 94, and I know there was concerns with the wall. How did that go? Because I live kind of what I consider east. Mm-hmm. I got more than 4 inches.
15, that's all.
Well, I mean, 11. I'm thinking, yeah, there, I swear was, I had like 8.
There were some sections in the east, close to the lake. They didn't. They had snow, but not as much as you,
okay,
did. You did, yeah.
Maybe I was in that band, because I certainly had, like, yeah, you know.
It cut the
angle. It was wet.
Yeah.
But I was just curious, how did it go, and how did the crews survive that death quarter?
Everything went well. There were no major incidents on the, okay, on the freeway. By the way, we had already had our planning, and we had everything laid out how we're going to be plowing the interstate, where Racine County will be plowing all the way to Highway 50, and we'll be plowing all the way to Highway 20 and reverse. So that appeared to have worked very well, because I didn't. We didn't get any major complaints about the snow plowing.
Great. Okay.
Yeah, and going forward, I think this coming Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken, they're going to switch the traffic and place them on their various lanes. So in the sense that the northbound will now be on the northbound section of the road, and the southbound will be on the south section of the road. That way, the plowing becomes a little bit much more convenient. Not, it's not more convenient than what it is right now, because you'll be plowing the snow and putting them all on the shoulder. You don't have to be worrying about oncoming traffic and things like that. The switching of the traffic from north to south is going to be a continuous process. So, because I don't think every little section is ready at this time, but they'll be doing the switching as they complete each section.
Thank you.
I just wanted to add too, Clement, that although during the snowstorm there wasn't any major incidents, there's been a few incidents over the past several weeks, really, on the interstate.
That's almost a daily occurrence.
It is, and it's not some of the emergency response to that between all the agencies, meaning all the law enforcement agencies, all the public works. It's been a little clunky. Because it's really tough to work up there, because just about every one of the instances involved a semi flipping over. So if you heard of that, the sheriff was at a meeting last week with the DOT to go over some stuff. So in case you hear, we're working with them closely to try to get a more coordinated response, because it's not ideal conditions, that's for sure.
I know they're keeping a record, or at least a flatbed, right there at the entrance at just north of 142, 24 hours. Because you cannot afford, at least from an automobile standpoint, to have anybody tied up there. It's a big, it's a big, big problem. But I think there's an accident a day there, if
it
not
seems
every other day. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, and just to add to that too, the department is trying to organize a meeting within all the emergency agencies. It will take place here in Kenosha, but we don't have a date yet. And it's partly because the construction team is finding it very challenging to manage the incidents on I-94.
Thank you.
On project updates, the first project I'll be talking about is County Trunk Highway S. As you know, the County Trunk Highway S there are two phases, from State Trunk Highway 31 to H. Is one of the phase. That one has federal funding in it. And then the other phase is from H to I-94. So despite the fact that both projects are going concurrently, there are still some lapses in terms of synchronizing their schedule. The schedules are different because one has more review requirements and the other one, there are some requirements that we can waive because it's fully funded by the county, and so it goes a little bit faster. So for phase one, the right-of-way acquisition it's started and it's progressing well. And we're hoping that by April of next year, we would have completed all these right-of-way acquisition, and then we'll start demolishing the properties that were fully acquired, those properties that were completely acquired, which has buildings on them. We'll have to start raising those buildings. And we are hoping to advertise and bid the grazing project sometime in January. And hopefully by April 2, we are hoping that all these grazing projects will be completed. And while in phase two is pretty much advanced in terms of right-of-way acquisition, I would say about 80 to 90% now is completed. Most of the full takes have been acquired, just one or two that we are working on. And the raising contract was actually let last on November 12. And if you look at your report, they have the summary of the bid. The apparent low bidder was the MRD group, came with the price tag of about $529,891. Listed below are also the other contractors who bid for the project and their respective bid amount. The raising project is scheduled to start. Actually, there's a pre-construction meeting scheduled. When I was doing this report, the pre-construction meeting had not been scheduled, but I just got the schedule. It's on Friday and Wednesday, December 5th, and the contractor is ready to start as soon as possible. So looking at things, it might start before the end of the year.
Has the county ever worked with MRD Group before, do you know?
I have not had an experience with MRD group.
Or any of the other on this list?
I've worked with Viet. Viet is the contractor that constructed the W project, the retaining wall. DK contractors, I know of them, but I've never worked with them.
We've done a couple of projects on them.
Mm-hmm. So Stark Brothers, yes, I've worked with Stark Brothers before. Okay.
Do you have any reservations with using MRD? Do you seem okay?
No, typically we researched the company after the bid and we didn't find any red flags. So
okay,
I would say we are comfortable to
thank you.
Award the contract. And the second project is County Trunk Highway F, the realignment project. A public information meeting for this project was held on November 16, 2018, here in the KCC. About 20 to 30 residents showed up for the public information meeting, but just about 11 of them signed on the signing sheet. Most of their complaints were they were concerned about the noise that would be generated by the traffic on the proposed new road, new County Trunk Highway F, and they were also concerned about the speed limit. Because the road is designed at 60 miles an hour, and which means it could be posted 55 miles an hour. Just recently, we went back to confirm that despite the fact that it is designed at 60 miles per hour, we can post 35 miles an hour. We think the county's position is that we will be posting it at 35 miles per hour because it's actually between two 35 miles per hour zone. And that speed variance going from low to high and it usually creates problems within an area. So we had some issues with situations like that within the county, and we would not want that same situation to repeat itself. So we'll definitely be posting it at 35 miles per hour.
What's the speed?
35 miles an hour.
35.
Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I kept hearing 55. Yeah.
Is there any, because obviously going 35, 55, 35, I agree with that. On the other hand, in the area that you're saying, well, that's supposed to 35, do you think that traffic will tend to go a little higher than that, given if it's, you know, fairly straight or open?
There's a potential.
You know how that is,
yeah,
right?
The truth
around.
Yeah, the truth about the speed limit is that no matter what speed limit that you post, motorists just drive at the speed that they are comfortable at. So even if you put a 55 miles an hour and they can go at 35, they'll go at 35. If you post it at 35 miles and you feel comfortable going at 70 miles, they'll do 70 miles.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
The road that'll be vacated then, currently, is that going to be deeded back to Twin Lakes and Randall?
Those details will be discussed much later. At this time, it would be a little bit premature to tell or to give you what will happen to the road. There are so many things that will come into considerations, the people that the road serves, how to accommodate their accesses, and which way is the best way to do it. We'll figure that after that the realignment is completed. Right now, we will not be able to tell which way it's going to go.
Because, I mean, it's putting more of a hardship on Randall. You know, first of all, you lose Powerslake Construction. You can't resell it because the county took it over. That's the only reason why now you can get to this Highway F project. And then, you know, if you end up now taking that road that the county was taking for and going, well, Twin Lakes, here's your portion, Randall, here's your portion. So they lose the tax base. Now they've got an added expense. So,
well, yeah, again, those are some of the things that we'll be looking at.
Yeah.
And that we don't really have an answer right now.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to add to that, too, because there's ongoing discussions. But internally, we kind of got to get our act together that way first. Because the road does cut, like you said, through there, it actually creates the potential for a number of very marketable properties, as long as there's access, safe access put in place. So we're kind of sorting through all the different options with that. Andy, Clement, and I have met regularly once to twice, probably the last 4 weeks, each week on this. And we're trying to get some draft options together for Jim initially so that we can start to sort through what some of those options, so we can start to reach out then to Twin Lakes and Randall. We're still trying to, there's so many, it's amazing how many little bits and pieces are going to be created. And
sure.
If we do it right, it really will optimize
of
property.
Like I said, it's too early to tell right now. You need to look at a plan. I'm just bringing up the fact that, you know, Randall's getting harmed if they're going to lose the tax base and have an added expense. That's all I'm bringing up.
Yeah.
And that's not the intent, obviously, of putting this through.
And I think, based on what we know at this point, there's definitely going to be some options that could be very positive, could be create some real positive situations.
Stay open-minded to it.
So
absolutely.
I'm hoping.
Then at the bottom of this report is just the regular long-term schedule. I think very soon I'll start updating them again because some of these will be falling out because the time frame would have been expired. And that is all I have for today.
Did you talk about KR?
Yeah. Oh.
Those five properties. How did you forget those guys?
I was trying to.
trying to.
We're not going to forget.
Yeah. I was trying to close this thing, so. Yes, thank you, Ray. The County Trunk Highway KR project, and you all know that we are really engaged in the design process right now. And so far, most of the issues and the design issues we've resolved around the design work on County Trunk Highway KR itself. The one that is still looming around is these five properties that are just east of the railroad. And because based on where the locations of those properties are, we were thinking that it would be best to provide access from behind and connect them to first place, which would connect them to 56th Avenue. But we are getting a lot of pushback from the community around that area to connect it there. And so we are looking at all other options. So. One of the options that we considered was to just acquire all the five properties. But for that option to work, then all of them will need to sell the property so that we can make use of that property or prevent the uprising from the neighborhood. Unfortunately, we sent a letter of intent letting them know that the county would like to acquire the properties, and we got just two responses. One said no, and one is for it. So going forward, we will be working to find out what the best option is for these properties.
I know them well. With this reconstruction of KR, there's no way they can have access onto a divided, potentially six-lane road, five lanes, whatever it is. Because I think some of those driveways are only about 75 feet long, maybe. They are going to be right on top of KR. So have we taken the time to send somebody out to sit and, I know a letter is the standard way, but maybe a visit by the appropriate person, not necessarily dumping it on Clemens.
No, he's already been out there.
Maybe, okay. Met with them, and most of the initial concerns have been addressed. As a matter of fact, all their concerns were addressed because they didn't want the right-of-way to encroach further south because they want to maintain the same frontage that they had. They have, and we did that. So the,
right.
the everything is being expanded to the north. Now, with these five properties, it's just because because of the overpass on the railroad, they're a little bit close to the...
Oh, it's right on.
Yeah, to the wall. And their main concern then was that they don't want to be seeing the wall, and the fact that, again, there's a four-lane divided road, all those concerns. So we looked at it, and then that was why we came up with this one, the solution of connecting them to first place. And then when we provided that, then the neighborhood also was against it. So again, it's part of this is it's nothing unusual. We usually come across things like this, and all we need to do is to work with the community, and the design team will now figure out what the best way to provide access to the five properties would be.
Based on I would think WISDOT standards, I can't believe they could have a driveway directly into this road. Just based on some of the stuff we work on planning development on state highways. So, grant the state owns it, we're going to potentially get it deeded back to us, but that's a major thoroughfare now. And five in a row. I just think it's a public safety hazard. We're going to be coming over that overpass. Don't tell me they ain't going to be doing 50-55, because they will be, if not more. The place is an east-west raceway right now on two lanes. And I just think it's going to be potentially very dangerous. But I understand. I understand. If there was a way to route them around, if the homes were set back further, you could put a street along parallel, but to have driveways into the same
lot. That was what Clement's talking about, is the, we didn't bring maps or anything, but so there was
some
couple
options.
Different options that have been at the both public information meetings. So the most recent one, the five folks that are closest to the tracks indicated at the meeting they would really be rather be bought out. That's why we came up with the letter. We didn't come up with it on our own. We came up with it based on the comments we got from the public information. But then when push came to shove, they kind of said, maybe not, because we didn't get a great response. So the route was to, the alternate route, one of them, was to connect it to first place. But that's then when that whole subdivision went haywire, because they don't want any additional traffic into their subdivision, and so that it's going to be balancing all those options out versus providing what access directly to KR, kind of looking at that whole kettle of fish.
Okay, that's fine. I won't waste some more time. Thank you.
That's all I have tonight.
Any other questions? If not, move on to parks, Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As far as park projects go for the parks, the first thing we have to talk about is boundless adventures and tree pruning, select removals of dead and hazardous trees, as well as brush removal within the premises. Was planned for today, as we just talked about, with weather. It's way too sloppy to get any equipment in there. So we're looking like we're going to have a pretty hard freeze coming up, and that's perfect for any tree work in the near future. So we're looking at either Friday or early next week, weather dependent, or equipment to get into the boundless adventures within Bristol Woods Park premises to start on the tree work, clearing out that area. As far as Katy Park goes, we had the phase two development. I recommend you to see those attached pictures. It really did turn out nice for the phase two project area. We're substantially complete, but we do have to have that contractor come back for a punch list. They just ran out of time, and I already communicated that they should have been done in September, and they dragged along too long, and now they just have to come back for minor restoration work in the spring of next year. As far as prairie restoration, Tall Grass was awarded the bid for this 30-acre prairie restoration on the western part of KD Park. So we're planning on dormant seeding, which is a great time to actually be doing prairie seeding. December through the end of February is the window. So Tall Grass was awarded that contract for $30,740. And if you remember, a majority of that was grants funded through two different grant sources. As far as Kemper Center, interior water damage repairs are going to be worked on in the next few months. Now that a lot of our roofs have been repaired, there was substantial stormwater damage that was created on the interior because of the condition of those roofs prior to being replaced. So now we have to focus on the interior now that all those roofs have been buttoned up and replaced. So we have identified work within Ambrose, South Cloister, and Durkee Mansion, and we've got it scheduled with the contractor to come, most likely right after the new year, because they have a lot of Durkee Mansions on exhibit throughout the Christmas and holiday season. We want to obviously open that up to the general public without contractors walking around. As far as Kemper Center Coastal Management, we were awarded, our preliminary award, the Wisconsin Coastal Resilience Grant for additional design and engineering work. So we're able to still do substantial engineering with our first grant award, if you remember that one. But after talking to Barrett Engineers, they came into a couple different items. The outfalls for when we redid the parking lot are right in line with where potentially we're going to be putting a Cobble Beach area. So we're going to have to shift out the outfalls, and additional engineering work will be needed in order to make sure that the outfalls with the stormwater does not affect where a Cobble Beach would have to go. So we need to have additional engineering work for that. And then as well as permitting. And then we need to really try to hone in on additional costs of materials. So we're going to spend an additional $10,000 to see what we truly have that could be repurposed within the Kemper Center shoreline. So we're going to have our engineers actually go underneath the water surface and see what red granite boulders are still existing that probably fell off, sloped down, non-visible to the naked eye. But potentially we want to reduce that contingency or allowance for this project by really having a better idea about what material can be repurposed. So we sent that in to, for a grant, and it's a $60,000 price tag, but it'll be a 50-50 split between us and the coastal management program. As far as Pipe River restoration, that project actually did get substantially completed on the 30th, our deadline for the contractor. So all in-stream work was finished basically on that Friday, the 30th, that they were out there. And they were working long evenings the last 2 weeks because we really put them under the gun to finish that project this year. Because I knew that if it went into next year in spring, if anyone's been over on the Pike River and Pets in spring, it'd be nearly impossible for the contractors to come back and get that in time before our grant expired on June 30th. So they did it, they got all that work done, and now it's just basically minor grading outside of the project area, and they should be working on that for the next week or so. We still do have to resolve the shop area with that bluff, so we're still waiting on engineering documents to see what else can be done, just to make sure that we can lessen the slopes in that general area. As far as Pets projects, we've got the building and ball field development that was passed in the 2019 budget. So we are already working on bleacher demo quotes, and they were due on the 29th, and Vash was our low bidder, and ball field demo will be done, or demoed by Vash at $6,600, so pretty minimal. So we do have money within our budget this year to move forward with that demo. And then the building invitation bid will be posted this month and then due early January. And then as far as other projects in Pets, trail restoration, the DNR tentatively awarded our parks with the Pest Trails Rehabilitation Stewardship Grant. So we've been, I think this is our third year now, of receiving stewardship funding. That's a highly competitive grant throughout the whole state of Wisconsin. So it's great that we keep on getting recognized for our grant submittals, and the total project cost is $315,000, and it's a 50-50 match for that one as well. And And then last but not least, just updates on the Schaefer property that we acquired this year, as well as K-Dog facility. For those that don't know what K-Dog was it was used and operated through the Sheriff's Department within Petrified Springs Park. They have since moved out, and now it's back into the possession of Parks. We do not need it for anything. It was an old office building back in the 40s and 50s or so. So our plan is to demo both facilities with the help of Summers Fire Department. And anyone that's been on this committee in the past know that we've used Summers Fire Department. They can be slow at times, but economical, to say the least. But we just got to reroute a couple utilities for the K-Dog facility. And other than that, we should be good to go with getting that set up and scheduled for demo. And that is all I have.
Any questions for Matt?
Have you ever figured out why they're so slow? It's not like they were overworked.
No, to be honest.
I
think we just might have to be that squeaky wheel a little bit more. For some of these, though, they're going to do it out of the kindness of their heart more than scheduling for. I use that tongue-in-cheek.
Did I understand?
Yeah, but what they did with the Bugman building that we were dealing with before, they had to schedule a lot of other fire departments for training purposes, and I think that's probably why it was a little bit slower. This one, they're going to just do it internally. So
what if you just start on fire, then come?
I do have a blowtorch. Yeah, right. They have to read.
Let's see how they respond.
It's only 3 digits to get them on site.
I know in the past they had some problems because there was turnover at the top of that department, and they couldn't get anyone. This goes back a couple of years when we wanted to have them take down something. That was a problem. Nobody could really.
That had been for a while, though.
Well, this was a couple of years ago when I'm talking about. So maybe it'll go better because I think they have sort of solved that problem.
Is this a wooden building you're thinking about burning? I mean, I don't.
For the most part, there is some brick within it. The one, the Schaefer property is mainly wood. K-Dog has a little bit of brick to it. So it should burn nicely.
Oh, she should go up fast, especially the Schaefer.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the property you bought a couple months ago.
Right off Green Bay Ave.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Matt. Thank you. And Dan,
thank you, sir. I can't stress enough how many good comments that we got about the golf course conditions all year long. I mean, even with the rough weather and you know, the challenging spring and fall that we had, you know, everybody really enjoyed the conditions that we had brought forth at the golf courses. So that was great. All the winterization has been done, aerification, the blowing out of the irrigation, and the clubhouses have all been winterized. And now we're just working on, polishing and any projects that we have for the winter for the clubhouses and all the maintenance. So Brightdale officially closed November 6th, and then the big snowstorm last week closed Petrifying Springs on the 25th. And, the fall weather didn't do us any favors, that's for sure. I mean, ever since the big rains of Labor Day weekend, you know, really shut us down. We had some nice outings at the end of the year that really helped us out, but other than that, open play was very, very challenging for us the rest of the whole fall. Currently, we got our special holiday sale going on. We're getting some travel through there, not a real lot. Hopefully it picks up a little bit more as we get a little closer to the Christmas season. And we do have a lot of really nice apparel and equipment sales going on there. So if anybody's got a golfer in their life, please stop by Petrifying Springs. And we're currently in the process of, you know, looking at all our policies and procedures, booking groups, looking at different vendors and restocking the golf shop for next year. We're tuning up all the equipment, and we got some projects to freshen up the clubhouses that we're working on. The renovation project of the bunkers, we got the whole back nine of the white done, which was great. All sodded, everything was done there, but the front nine, we ran into the weather and we weren't able to complete that. We got the first, I think, six holes, pretty much all the bunkers dug out, and we have new the gravel put in, but they were looking for dry weather so that they could actually spray the better Billy Bunker polymer on there for the drainage, and so we never got the dry weather, so we really have to go back. And then they have the last three holes, 7, 8, 9, that they didn't even start yet, so it'll be next spring, but we'll have 36 holes, you know. And they said that they started when they did Geneva National, actually, had the same project done, and they started in March last year, so we're hopeful that we can start again next year in March and get this project out of the way. But it's sure gonna make a big difference. I mean, the back nine just looked phenomenal when it was done, and really excited about the product that we're gonna present for their guests next year. And we are working on replacing our 2010 point of sale system, the cash register system. We are looking at several different companies and trying to get the best product out there to improve customer service and better communications, across the county with our new accounting system and better marketing with this system too, to our guests, better segmenting of our guests so that we can send out specialized emails and really improve our marketing and make that so much better to hit the right target markets for us. So it's a big project that we're looking at, but hopefully we can get that done before the start next season.
Anything for Dan? Thank you, Dan. And we'll move on to Mike Schrantz's report. And Ray, you must be doing it.
Yep. So Mike's got a few notes on here that the courthouse chiller replacement project, which was originally scheduled, I think the committee is aware, we were hoping to get that started in November, and then there's been some issues with getting the train equipment that was the equipment specified by the contractor awarded the bid. It's now supposedly been confirmed that we'll have that equipment available by the end of January. It's making us a little bit nervous, but that they've checked into it, the contractor's checked into it, and that's what they're saying is when the equipment will be available to us. There was a move to new refrigerants in 2017 by most of the major manufacturers, and we think that has something to do with, even though they're blaming the hurricane on the East Coast, and I think even if you blame it down, I can't even remember if there was one earlier in Texas this year, but I know there's a manufacturing facility down there that was supposedly affected as well. All that said, there's still things that we can do. There's a pre-construction meeting being set up. I think Mike's got it set up for either the end of this week or the beginning of next week. There's a bunch of stuff we can do from a control standpoint and a bunch of other work that we can kind of do above and behind the scenes to get things prepped and ready to go for when those things do arrive. That's pretty much what's going on with that. The KCDC groove coupling replacement project. Without getting into too much of the details, which you guys know I have a tendency to do, where when they did start to tackle this first phase of this project, and basically it involves replacing all of the joints that are failing now from when they were originally constructed, had to do with the type of seals that were used and the type of glycol that was used in the cooling lines. It was just everything was starting to fail. Things are being replaced with products that are, and I mean they were, it's going on 20 years, so it wasn't like they were 5 years old and they were prematurely failing. It was just at that point. When they started to do some of the work, though, they noticed that there was going to be some additional work that was going to be required once they started taking stuff apart. And the original bid, I think, was for $147,000, what we estimated to be a $150,000 job. Some of that additional work is going to add about another, we haven't got the firm number yet, but we know it's going to take it up about $15,000 plus to do some of this extra work that's been discovered And we've been working with Jim. Mike's been working with Jim to make sure that we can do it. We think we have the funds within that budget area to cover that, so we won't have to come back to the committee. And I think that's where it is right now. All that work is still scheduled to be is complete. I'm going to say substantially complete as of 11/23. Mike did this before he went hunting, I think, because 11/23 would have been about then. So I think it's substantially complete, but I don't believe it's completed at this point. The job center boiler replacement project, though, is complete. That one I know as of 11/26. Everything is pretty much wrapped up on that project. And the ATS replacement at KCDC, those are automatic transfer switches that needed to be replaced. That contractor is scheduled to start on the 7th and be completed by 12/21. And that should button everything up at the detention center. We did UPS work there this year, we did ATS work, and we did some generator work. So that, I believe that should button that facility's work up as far as backup electrical power goes, hopefully, for a while. Those were all the projects Mike had in process. And then the only other thing he had on energy team projects, we did get the focus on energy money, the little number in red there, $1,700 towards the boilers that were replaced at the job center. The bigger savings, and that's why that number isn't there yet, the payback hasn't been figured in, is because there was, over the years, a supplemental electrical heater that had been added in the administration area over there because the original HVAC really wasn't adequate to do the job, so they kind of put a Band-Aid thing, a very expensive, not to install, but to operate. Well, with the work they did now, they sized these replacement boilers correctly. They were able to take that supplemental electrical unit out of the equation. So the Focus on Energy guy is doing a more detailed calculation because we think the payback, even though there was only $1,700 in rebates they gave us, the actual operating costs are going to drop substantially by taking that electric heater out of the equation. So the payback still should be fairly decent. So next month we should have that information. That's pretty much everything Mike has going on.
My question, and it maybe isn't Mike and maybe it's Clement, but I read something about how, you know, it's one of these unintended consequences, going to LED lights for traffic signals. Grace, very energy efficient. Of course, the snow doesn't like to melt off on it. And not like I got some magic answer. Is there things that you guys have heard about? Because sending crews out to wipe them off sounds pretty ridiculous.
It is ridiculous, right? And that is what the solution that we're using, the city's using, and most everybody in the Midwest is using. When they first moved to LEDs about 8 years ago, I called Eric Haugard, who's head of engineering at Rude Lighting, was head of their LED stuff, really sharp guy, and I said, Eric, are you guys aware of this? And he goes, well, we've tested these things in Wyoming, Montana, Alaska. And I said, yeah, but think about it. We have really heavy, wet snow here. All those spaces you listed are dry, powdery snow. That's what they get. It doesn't pack in there. So what he indicated to me then is that the LEDs actually produce a lot of heat, but it's not from the bulb. It's from the driver in the back. And he said they're working on ways to vent that as opposed to venting it out the back, having it come over the face.
Okay.
But that was a few years ago, and I haven't heard because the problem still exists. It's a problem, especially the closer you get to the lake when there's those real wet driving snows, it gets packed in, and unless we go out and physically scrape it with a brush.
So as of right now, nothing has been introduced.
There's some sprays I think we've tried too.
It hasn't worked well. Besides various, there's nothing you can do.
Yeah, it was this particular snow. I mean, let's be honest, it's usually not that wet and sticky.
They've even tried to have the cone of the bulb and then an open ending so that the thing just falls down. But some of them are just sticky. They just go to stick.
It gets packed. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
So we're working on it. We work pretty closely with Rude, actually, and we're starting to work closely with Cree it is, and then I'm blocking on them. The guys in the industrial park. that make specialty lighting.
Chenal.
Thank you. Yeah, we're working with those folks as well.
Okay.
They don't deal in that kind of stuff, but the Cree folks do, so. Yeah. It's,
well, the best thing is just to install heaters.
Yeah, right, it's to use more energy, which offsets what the original incandescent light bulbs did. It was, yeah, unintended consequences. It's a great example. Right?
Oh, you have to have a leaf blower, I found out. I mean it's not a small problem.
No, it's a big problem.
It's a problem.
My customers last weekend, even with their security system, and so, like on my Christmas lights, I just took my leaf blower out. But for security system lights and everything, it was, they were all covered. And fast.
Oh, then you can't see.
We had tenants of snow on that, you know, that Sunday night, Monday, and there was no lights. Everybody that's gone to LED was dark.
Well, if you go back to the old bulb too, you're talking about almost more than 50% savings. So the right. Cost-benefit analysis is really there.
Yeah, look at what it's really costing.
Yeah.
Right. Leaf blower is about it, and you can get a big extension club.
Yeah, so maybe that's
the back of a pickup.
Yeah,
they make one.
Maybe you should get a de-icing truck.
They make
those NASCAR blowers.
Guys that do a lot of lawn maintenance, they make an extension for your leaf blower that blows up and then does
blows
this
out your gutters.
Blast the gutters out. I've seen guys do that.
So I don't think that Clemens going to be out there doing it.
I saw the state guys doing this intersection on Monday. They were out there. They had the big truck, and I'm like, oh, are those our guys? I couldn't see, and there was the state guys. Well, they were using brushes.
Well, what happened is that they have people cleaning the signs because the signs also have those compact on them. So when they come to clean the signs, they just take advantage to clean the bulbs as well.
Ray, you got some stuff, right?
Yeah. Got one resolution. Covers two issues. ATC as part of the big project, blocking on the Spring Valley North Lake Geneva electrical liability project they've been working on along Highway 50 for pretty much the better portion of this year. There's two more parcels that the overhead lines are going to go over, small remnant pieces of property that we own. One is a block west of Luisa's on Highway 50 on the south side of the road. We actually purchased that property as part of our wetland kind of reclamation kind of project. And the line is literally going to just go overhead there. There's no groundwork required. And there's another little piece on Highway F just south of Highway 50 where it makes the first bend. I'm imagining that remnant exists. It's on the east side, right on the apex of the radius for that corner. And the line's going to go over that. And for those two little pieces, they still technically need to get an easement from us to run those lines overhead. They actually do a calculation. There are real estate people do, and they give us a little bit of money for doing this as well. But the bottom line is the way things currently and historically worked, we need to formally adopt these or grant these easements via public works and the finance going on to the full board. These, I'm hoping, will be the last two of these. We've done a few of these this year now for this project as well as some Lee Energy's projects. For these projects, we've been kind of exploring it with Corp Council to carve out these things and do them administratively, just these kinds of things, because Corp Council, as they dug into it, they found out that when a project like this has PSC approval, and I forget the term, but there's another specific term that's associated with that, when a project has that, even if we did challenge it as a county and say, no, you know, we're not going to let you guys put the lines overhead over this piece of property, Dane County, evidently there's some case law that they went all the way to the Supreme Court with this a few years ago. The way things are written, if the utility, public utility, gets everything that they need to do their project, we really don't have a legal recourse to stop them anyway. So it seems kind of like a lot of hoo-ha for something that really doesn't they've got approval to do it, even though we go through these steps. So we're these hopefully will be the last two like this, or last one that covers both of these. And then I'm hoping we'll be able to do something in 2019 to clean it up administratively, so I'm working with Corp Council to do that. All the information was attached, the maps and so forth. If you've got any questions, you know, feel free to ask me, but that's basically what these are about.
I they pay for these easements? They've got a number on them.
Yep, they pay.
$2,400 and $2,100.
Yep.
Where does that money go?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
probably goes into the general fund, I would think. Yeah.
Doesn't come to us.
Doesn't come to highways or anything.
So do these go on to the, these are individual property owners that are?
These are our two. Yeah, okay. All the other property owners that must be in the same,
they have to do the same thing.
Yeah.
So this is actually going on then to like a deed restriction or something like that too?
It'll show up on a, it'll be probably a note on a certified survey map, because I don't think there'll be a new certified survey map, but there'll be a note that'll go into, when you do a title search or a deed search on these pieces of property, that easement will show up now.
Okay,
yep.
That's where it's going. Like I said, that we do about it anyway.
Right.
So do we have a
motion to approve?
Second.
Moved by Supervisor Skliski, seconded by Supervisor Nordegan to approve the two leases. Any discussion? For easements.
And then we've got kind of some closing comments for this being our last meeting of the year. 2018 was pretty productive. I think that all of the divisions really did a heck of a lot and got a lot of stuff done in not always the best of conditions, as the chairman said earlier. Some of the projects that we do are projects that are, things are just at the end of their useful life, whether it's a road, whether it's something in facilities, whether it's something in parks or golf. But the one thing that I'm really proud of all these guys is that everybody's in the mindset now that when we look at anything, we look at that project, and if, okay, that's what it was, do we replace it with exactly the same, or what can we do to make that better? Either cheaper to maintain, cheaper from an energy standpoint, will be a longer life because of it. So, and I honestly say all these guys look at things that way. It really is a part of the process. And if we can improve things in some way, we just don't look like, okay, that was a blue thing, so we're going to put another blue thing. Now, everybody asks those questions, and we see what they all see, what we can do to make the thing work better, provide a better experience, cheaper to maintain, and I'm really proud of everything that they continue to do in that regard. Balance of the year, we're just going to work to tie up as many loose ends as we can and review and develop plans to hit the ground running in the 19. So that's pretty much where we're at.
And the judges won't complain about the air conditioning if we do it in January, right?
Right. We should have it ready to go come June. Yeah.
Sure. And I want to commend your staff for continuing to take those kinds of approaches, because I've been on this committee, you know, a number of times now. And it is appreciated not only by myself, I know other supervisors, and most importantly, of course, the taxpayer. And try to incorporate more private sector principles into government will make us a lot more efficient, a lot more cost effective, yet deliver the services that everybody needs and wants in the most efficient possible means. So, you know, please pass along my gratitude to your staff, because they're doing a fine job.
Thanks very much. Thanks.
Well, you know, even the thing that a lot of people don't understand, just the lean training that Ray brought in here, what it has done for Mike Schramm's snowplow.
Right.
It's amazing. Just a small thing like that, what we do now in that downtown campus, we used to have a mess going on. Everybody was doing their own thing, and the coordination and the equipment is so much better. It's done. It costs us about half of what it used to cost.
It's a measurable, and I won't get into it because I'll chill another 10 minutes, but we got a really cool piece of equipment down there that we did as a result of some lean studies, and they were blown away at the 10-inch snowfall. It wasn't as much down there, but it was still pretty intense. And there was no damage to the lawn, there was no damage to any, you know, when the skid steers were used, it was yeah, you got it done, but you had repair stuff you had to do because there's a lot of dainty stuff you got to work around down there. This new piece of equipment, it blew everybody away at just how efficient it works. It basically is a small articulated unit, as opposed to a skid steer, and it's got a brush attachment on it that will brush hard-packed snow. Now, I don't think hard-packed snow like on the highway, although we want to start to experiment with it. But it was just amazing. They were blown away. They did it, like you said, it's like in half of the time and a much better job with less people.
Well, this last snowfall, the biggest problem was, of course, the ground wasn't frozen.
Right.
And it was heavy. And they tore up my neighborhood. And so, given the fact that you're not tearing up things, it's greatly appreciated.
It's a lot easily, because
nothing was frozen.
They even took this and went over the lawn just to see if it would. It scraped the hard pack off, but it wouldn't. The grass was just fine. Yeah, it's really pretty slick. So, yeah, all good.
So, we have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion to adjourn.
Aye.